So welcome everyone. So we'll have the usual overall format for the morning, which is I'll provide some input the next half an hour or so, so you might not want to sit in meditation posture just yet. And then I'll do a short sort of lead exercise around the meditation theme I've been talking about. Then we'll have a short silent break to get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and gather in a circle in the lounge reception area so that we can do one of our sort of group meditation reviews. So I'll say a bit more about that when we start, and that should leave time at the end for a reasonable length unled meditation, hopefully 30-40 minutes. Okay, so in terms of the material for today, we're actually moving from the theme of positive emotion to the theme of spiritual receptivity. So we're following the pattern of the year. We've got a theme of the system practice of the year. And the way we've chosen to arrange that is integration, positive emotion, then spiritual receptivity in the middle, and then spiritual death and spiritual rebirth. What we wanted to do with the going deeper class in meditation was to sort of give a more even spread, where the Sanghanites are focusing more on integration and positive emotion. So we're sort of moving in towards spiritual receptivity a little bit earlier than the Sanghanites are. And what I wanted to do was to sort of look at the way in which positive emotion, particularly in metta practice, can support a just sitting practice. So just sitting is the classic receptivity practice. So I want to talk particularly today about the way in which we can practice just sitting from a basis of metta, or from a foundation of metta, from a support of metta. So when Bhante first introduced just sitting as a practice, I've got this third hand, obviously, but so I hear. So that's how I heard. When Bhante first introduced just sitting as a practice, he'd say, when you practice just sitting, you just sit. And he'd leave it at that. And that did work for a number of people. And I think perhaps a large part of the way it worked was that, there's a way of learning. I think sometimes it's called sitting with nanny or sitting with nanny. So you just sit alongside someone who's doing it and you pick it up. So, knitting is a classic example. Some people learn to knit by just sitting along with their gran while she's knitting, and they sort of pick it up. Some people learn meditation that way. Just in Bristol, there's a few people who very much have that mindset. There's just something about sitting with someone who's actually really into their practice, and you sort of pick it up. So I think in the early days of Bhante, in just sitting, I think some people were learning it in that sort of way. I think particularly Subhuti has described the way in which that sort of worked for him. For others, it's been helpful to have a way into the practice, and very much think of this as a way in. So it's a sort of support, sort of foundation. It's a bit like having the training wheels on the back of your bicycle. Once you get going, the wheels lift off the ground because you're in balance and you're on your way, and you don't need the training wheels anymore. So you can think of it as just something to support you on the way into just sitting, and then you can leave it behind. You can relax out of it. And as we're in this transition from the period of the year, the spring period focusing on positive emotion, into the summer period focusing on spiritual receptivity, I wanted to take this angle on the practice, on just sitting as a spiritual receptivity practice on the basis of a foundation or a support of positive emotion of the metta-bhava. So to briefly contrast that with what's perhaps been more commonly suggested, which is just sitting on the foundation of mindfulness. So just a very brief recap of that one. So the idea with mindfulness as a basis, spiritual receptivity, is that you have a sort of anchor in the breath. Sometimes Vasantra likes to describe this in terms of a Tibetan practice of Ba Lung, which means intermediate breath. And here you sort of, you put some of your attention down in the abdomen, right at the base, where there's a sense of the breath sort of going in and out in the abdomen, moving. But only a small amount. It's like you put a sort of, I don't know, 20% of your attention is just down on this base foundation level, and the rest is just open to whatever experience is arising. But there's a sort of anchor there, a sort of foundation. And that's using mindfulness as a basis for just sitting. So, using metta as a basis for just sitting is a more subtle practice for a couple of reasons. So the first reason is that metta isn't a tangible physical sensation. It's more subtle than that. It's more of a state of mind, quality of mind, or a quality of relationship. And the second reason it's more subtle is that, just sitting it's not a practice we can do. Mindfulness breathing is a practice you can do, and you can get so far by doing the practice. You're going to run into the limits of how far you can get with a more active, identified, here's me in control doing the practice sort of approach. But you can actually make a start with the mindfulness of breathing and make a certain amount of progress that way. Just sitting is about exactly the opposite of that, really. It's about whatever you've been doing, let that go, stop doing that. And you're not taking up just sitting as another thing that you're doing. It's those of you who are on the Rains retreats may remember Vijayamala saying, talking about the to-do list mind, I've got this kind of tick sheet, I've got all of these things to do today. And, at 10:30 we're going to be practicing meditation, it's on my to-do list. And so you sit down to meditate with the to-do list mind and you think, right, I'm going to do this meditation. And she was very much saying, you just need to drop the to-do list, just let it go. And the whole approach of that Rains retreat was quite a just sitting sort of approach. Okay. So we might begin our meditation practice with an active doing sort of approach, and we'd be sort of practicing the four right efforts, really. We'd be endeavouring to eradicate and destroy all unwanted states of hindrance to prevent them coming back. We'd be trying to cultivate and develop desired states of mindfulness or metta, and we'd try to sustain those that had arisen. So that's a sort of doing approach to practice. It's the initial way of practicing bhavana. The metta bhavana is a bhavana practice, cultivation and development. The mindfulness of breathing is also a bhavana practice. It's the anapanasati bhavana. And initially, this is our relationship with bhavana. It's more of a sort of deliberate sort of doing. Okay. And in particular, if we've started from a position of feeling stuck, here am I stuck in an unpleasant state of mind, feeling there's nothing I can do about it, I'm just stuck here. So that's not a very helpful place to be, it's got a painful place to be. And if we can move from there into a sense of, well, actually I'm not stuck, there is something I can do, I've got this practice, I know how to engage with it, I can change my mind, then that's definitely a move in the right direction. Okay, so I don't want to sort of downplay the value of our initial practice. Having said that, a doing approach to meditation will involve, at some level, a practice of constructing experience, of fabricating experience, of contriving experience. So you may well manage to cultivate mindfulness, but to the extent that it's something you've been doing, you'll wind up with a contrived experience of mindfulness. Some of you may have come across Bidya Davies, might have got the name on, anyway, Meditation Retreat, Uncontrived Mindfulness. Yeah. So again, that's looking to make this transition out of an orientation towards practice that's more contrived into one that's more natural. Okay. Yeah. So the point is that if we are in this mindset that's more constructed, more contrived, more done, more in relation to a doing, then the degree of openness possible with the mind is going to be quite limited. Yeah. Okay, so that's by way of motivating, moving from a bhavana practice into a just sitting practice, which, well, I haven't got a Pali word for it, but it's the opposite of bhavana. It's letting go of the to-do list mind that's not trying to do the practice. Okay. So now I'm going to move on to talking about what ways into that. So how do we kind of move towards that, particularly from a context of metta? So first off, well, what's at the centre of metta practice? And this is just my view, my response. So for me, what's at the centre of a practice of metta, a centre of attention, if you like, it's something more subtle than a physical sensation. It's more about the quality of relationship. So we have this natural human capacity to be with one another, to be with each other, particularly apparent with our friends, but it's actually possible with anyone. And that sort of being with involves bringing a kindly awareness to what's there. Yeah? So if my friend's anxious, I can just kind of sit with my friend in her anxiety without trying to fix it, without trying to come up with a plan to get her out of it, without trying to jolly her up. Just kind of being with her in the state of mind that she's in. So we can do something very similar with in relation to our own experience. So if I find that, okay, something in me is feeling quite anxious, I can just be with that something in its anxiety in a sort of companionable and kindly sort of way. Just bringing to bear this natural human capacity we have to be with. Being present to whatever's particularly on our minds, particularly calling our awareness, with this kindly awareness, with this attentiveness. And if there's something particularly on our mind, then the first practice of mindfulness, the first section of the mind of the metta bhavana is just that. It's a case of being with kindly awareness. Okay. So this is already a bit less identified. I'll go on to this a bit more in a while, but it's not so much a case of here's me feeling metta towards myself. It's more a case of relaxing into a quality of spacious, kindly awareness, relationship, presence with whatever's particularly troubling me, whatever's particularly drawing my attention. Yeah. So there's less of a sense of identified deliberate practice there. Having said that, so again, I'm kind of bringing in bits of other talks of meditation which I've sort of done at other points, so this is a bit of a brief summary, but there's still a possibility for an element of bhavana, and I think this is useful for this practice to serve as a way in or a foundation to the just sitting. So there's still an element of engagement in a more kind of cultivation and development sort of way. It's a bit more subtle, and it's something we can kind of let go into just sitting proper, as Subhuti coined the phrase. So I want to talk next about there's a way in which you can sort of subtly lean into the practice. So with the mindfulness of breathing, it's more straightforward. There's a tangible physical experience, and we can kind of centre our attention to it and introduce a little bit, just a gentle volition, a gentle intention to sort of lean our attention into that particular centre, that particular experience. Now, as I say, with the metta bhavana, there isn't a tangible physical experience, but there's still possible to sort of lean into the practice. Yeah. So just to sort of review my little example, illustration of this, supposing that's the mind in perfect balance, more or less perfect balance. Now, more often when we start, the mind isn't in perfect balance. There's a certain chaitanya, there's a certain directionality of mind, and it's being drawn away from the experience in the moment and the practice in the moment. So it's like there's a lean, okay? So the mind isn't so much like that, it's more like that, it leans. And if we don't do anything, it's just going to fall in that direction, because that's the direction it's leading. And a Barbara approach, an unsubtle Barbara approach, would be grab it, put it back. So here's a different approach. introduce a lean back into the centre of the practice with a very different intention. So the intention is not to pin my attention on the centre of the practice. My intention is to balance. Yeah? So this is a sort of balanced effort, and I'm balancing the degree of distraction with an equal degree of intention. So the mind's leaning towards that anxiety, and I'm kind of leaning back into the practice. Yeah? And if I can just introduce enough of an intention to lean back, then there's this quality of balance. And when you've got a quality of balance, you've got a sensitivity to the felt texture of the experience. Okay. So if I do that, I'm not really feeling this object. You know, I'm sort of feeling the tension in my fingers, I'm feeling there's a bit of a pain here, I'm feeling there's an edge, but I'm not really feeling the texture and the subtlety and the felt experience of the actual object. If I just bring in enough intention to balance the lean of the mind away from the practice, then there's a sensitivity. So with balance comes sensitivity, and with sensitivity comes awareness. So I'm coming into a fuller understanding of what that directionality of mind's about. Okay, so what's that anxiety about? I'm coming into a sensitivity to that, an understanding of that, a relationship with that, and that's that. From there, I can easily come into this kind of being with kindly awareness, which is actually the practice, the metta practice. So this is kind of the lean in the metta bhavana. It's a leaning back into relationship with the experience. Yeah. So it's in a way the move that we're trying to lean in the direction of is a move from being caught up, preoccupied and troubled to a move into a space of being with, being present, being sensitive to. Okay. You can also think of this as a turning towards. So turning towards involves a degree of intention. So from turning away, to turning towards, there's a sort of movement in the mind, and that involves a degree of intention. And what we're turning towards is not the content of experience. So when I'm anxious, there's going to be something that I'm anxious about. There's going to be a life connection. There's going to be something about my diary and my relationships and what's happening when. I'm not turning towards that. I'm turning towards the felt emotional experience of anxiety. How is that? How is it to be in this state of mind? Yeah. Not how do I solve this problem, but how is it to be in this state of mind? So rather than turning towards what is preoccupying and troubling me, I'm turning towards how is it, what's the experience like of being preoccupied and troubled, and bringing a quality of interest, sympathy, presence, kindly awareness to that. So that, in a way, that's almost something we can do. We can turn towards, we can bring this quality of mind to bear. It's something we can kind of, it's bringing intention in. So we can just bring enough intention in to balance out the directionality of the mind towards distraction. Yeah. So more figuratively, we can relate to this as a lean in. We could sort of relate to this as a sort of moving back into spaciousness, or a reorientation, a realignment with our heart centre or our heart wish, or a stepping back from being caught up to being with. So yeah, different sort of metaphors. Find the one that kind of works best for you, and then see if there's a sort of lean and the balance is about not trying to do it in the sense of moving to the place where it's done, but just sort of introduce a sort of a degree of intention in that direction, a lean in that direction. Okay. So that's my suggested first move. That's move one. There's a couple more moves. which I'll summarise. So we're moving from positive emotion to chastity. So this is kind of, move one is kind of engaging with the first stage of the metta-bhavana in a more subtle, less identified way. So once that sort of lean, that sort of balance is in place, we can start picking up on the qualities of presence with experience. We're being present with experience, we're being with, we've got this kindly awareness. So there's going to be a quality of presence there, a quality of kindly awareness, a quality of spaciousness, a quality of sensitivity. We can pick those qualities up. You may also notice there's a quality that it's all just happening. Yeah? All the experience is just happening, the being with is just happening. Presence has a quality of, it's just here, it's just happening, it's just present, here it is. So that quality of just happening is quite a different tone to it, to the quality of deliberateness, the deliberation of doing. It's quite different from this quality of fabricated, constructed, contrived, it's just there, it's just happening. Okay, so with that in place, you may well find you can relax into a state of mind in which is much less troubled. So you may find actually there's something very definitely on my mind, and actually the practice then is just to turn towards that, to be with that, to be sensitive to that, for as long as it needs, you to be, and that will be the practice. You may find that you get to the point where actually that's not really needed anymore, because it feels heard, it feels met, it feels fully felt. And that it's no longer really insisting upon your attention anymore. It's not really knocking on the door, because it feels welcomed, it feels let in, it feels met. And if you find that actually there's just this quality of presence and there's nothing particularly demanding my attention. So it's not that there's nothing going on at all, it's that there's nothing particularly insistent. And you've got this sort of connection, you've picked up the quality of awareness that's there, that's been brought to bear. Then it's possible to move from being present with a particular experience to being present with this openness to new experience. Yeah. So rather than an open, welcoming attention to something in particular that's already there and calling your attention, it's bringing this open, sensitive, welcoming state of mind to new experience. Yeah. It's an openness to the new. Yeah. And when I'm saying new, so new might seem strange because it will be from beyond the bounds of what's familiar. New might seem other, not me, because it's beyond the scope, it's from beyond the scope of what we identify with. There's a range of experience that we identify with me. There's more going on than that. When you're open to stuff that's kind of coming in to your awareness from beyond the bit that you identify with as your habitual self, it may well seem other, some coming from another. And it may well seem distant because it's from beyond the sort of tight centre of what we cling to. So that's the quality of openness, and this is very much what the just sitting practice is hopefully an embodiment of. It's particularly an openness, and I remember Vasantra saying how important and key the quality of openness to Adishtana is to a just sitting practice. So Adishtana is this the sort of radiance, the presence, the grace of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, which very much needs to come from outside of oneself. So just to say a few more things in this area before we have a go. There's a couple of other little bits of Dharma that this connects with. So the first one is a teaching of the Sutra is very keen on, and he always cites Bhante when he teaches this, and I've never yet got a reference that I've been able to look up from Bhante. So it may well come from a personal conversation with Sutra I had with Bhante. And it's a teaching of the threefold unhooking. So unhooking from a more identified practice into a more unidentified, more open, more just sitting sort of practice. And I'll use the example of meta. So you may initially relate to an experience of meta in terms of, I'm feeling meta towards my friend. I'm feeling meta towards my friend. And the first unhooking is unhooking from the sense of I, which just leaves a feeling of metta towards my friend. Yeah. So when you're actually in the second station of metta bhavana, is there really anything that you need to be there that's going to, you know, be that here's me doing this practice? You know, or could you just relax into a quality of a feeling of metta towards my friend? And then the second unhooking is from the sense of then. And that just leaves a feeling of metta. So I think for me this is very much the how I try and engage with the last stage of the metta bhavana. It's just the feeling of metta. It's open, it's radiant, it will meet whoever it meets. It's it's not personal in that sense. It's unconditioned. And then lastly, you'd unhook from the label, the idea, metta, and you just leave the experience as it is, without needing to label it as anything in particular. And there is a link in here with the Mahayana and the Bodhisattva path. So the first of the stages or bhumis of the Bodhisattva path is the perfection of generosity. And the Bodhisattva is said to practice the perfection of generosity with no sense of himself giving anything. There's no sense of any recipient receiving anything, and there's no sense of a gift. There's just this kind of natural generosity. So it's very simple. Also, the Bodhisattva is said at the beginning of his career to practice compassion with beings as a reference. In the middle of his career, with what they call dharmas as a reference. So dharmas in this context means roughly equivalent to experience, mind objects. It basically means with experience as a reference. And at the end of his career with no reference at all. Okay. So you might find when you're practicing metta bhavana, at the beginning of your practicing metta bhavana, you're practicing the metta bhavana with beings as a reference. You know, with me feeling metta towards you. And then in the middle of your career, you might be able to relax into something more like with experience as a reference. Here's a kindly awareness brought to experience. Here's a kindly awareness that's open to new experience, to whatever's there, to whoever it and whatever it encounters. So this open, radiant sort of experience of metta. And in the end, there's metta with no reference. Okay. So moving from metta to spiritual receptivity, so moving from positive emotion to spiritual receptivity, it's in a nutshell, the suggestion is we start by bringing a positive, kindly awareness and presence to our experience. And then, if we find that the experience isn't really demanding our attention, if it feels felt, if it feels heard, if it feels met and welcomed, then we can let go from that focus and relax into an open awareness of the spacious receptivity itself of presence. So we're sort of being present to this openness and receptivity, to new experience. Yeah. And that's just sitting right there. All right then. Mm-hmm.
Get this water.
Yeah, please, thank you. So we'll do a sort of guided exercise, meditation practice around that in a moment. But there's an opportunity before we do that to clarify if you've got any questions, anything that you didn't understand that wasn't clear, or you'd like to hear more about. Anyone else a chance?
So beautiful, thank you. I just loved all of that. It's just, wow, thank you. Really meaningful. It's just something, when something does naturally arise and adjust it in practice, and actually just sit with the feeling, term, and emotion around that, then sometimes, you know, it wants to create more stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that point of coming back knowing which way to go with that, really, because then it, yeah. I've got this thing about, you know, helpful then going in, receptivity and kind of being open, reflecting on it, understanding it, experiencing it and realising it. Mm. But
so that's a more investigative approach.
But so it's sort of when to kind of draw it back, or does that mean that those aspects of experience haven't had enough? But then there's like a creative then going into the receptivity of reflection, or actually what you're doing is building all storylines and stuff, which I've got to be careful between reflection and more propension and more headlines.
Couple of thoughts in relation to that.
Yeah.
So one constant is that in just sitting, as in all practice, we're endeavouring to bring a wise attention to our experience, and we're endeavouring to avoid getting caught up in an unwise attention to our experience. And so for me, the difference between the two is that unwise attention is caught up, particularly in the content of the thinking. So propancha is a state of being caught up in the content of the thinking. So to take that example of anxiety, unwise attention would be trying to make the plan, you know, trying to, I don't know, find the perfect plan to sort it all out, and which would be caught up in the content of the what, if you like, what I'm anxious about. Wise attention for me has the qualities of awareness in it. So it has this quality of openness to it that's able to just kind of be open to without getting wrapped up in. So it's more spacious. It has a quality of sensitivity to it, and sensitivity is more to the felt experience. So again, with this particular example of anxiety, a wise attention to anxiety would be particularly centering attention on the felt experience of the emotion and its feeling tone, and not on the content of the thoughts associated with it. So that's the quality of sensitivity. You can't really be sensitive to the content of a thought. It just doesn't make sense. So those are the two that I'd particularly draw on. So that's the first point. There's one other thing that came to mind in relation to what you said as well, which is that there isn't one right way of practicing. So we think of skillful and unskillful as though there's one thing to do which is the skillful thing to do. And actually there's often more than one approach which is a skillful approach. So two skillful approaches that come to mind in relation to what you said. So one is to really kind of devote your attention to engage with this thing that's kind of on your mind. So that's a sort of that would be like a first stage mindfulness practice for me, in a quite unidentified way, mindfulness based on experience. But the alternative would be more to sort of go for the openness. So in a way, the first one is to sort of bring sensitivity to this particular felt experience and really kind of be close, be intimate, be with that. And the other is to be kind of more spacious around it. And there's a sort of letting go in that, and just a complete allowing. And that could be a just sitting practice as a just settling practice. So some of you might have come across Subhuti's description of five justs, which I can't remember all of, but the first one was just settling, which is just allowing the mind to settle. So you imagine like one of those snow globes, it's all kind of shaken up, the snow everywhere. You just rest it on a surface and leave it, and then the disturbance just gradually settles. So that's more kind of bringing a sort of an openness to bear in relation to experience. And they're both equally skillful responses.
So sometimes then it happens to me that I'll kind of note what is going on. But then it's this bargaining and thinking, well, actually, like you said, I'm going to come back more to the practice to get going again, and I'm going to look at this another time. I know it's there. Do you know?
Yeah, so fair enough, And along with that, I think the just sitting practice in particular is a case of bringing an open awareness to, and then if you find you're engaged with that, bring an open awareness to that part of you which is really engaged with that. Yeah. If you find that that's really difficult, bring an open awareness to that part of you that's finding that really difficult. You just kind of keep, you know, just keep trying again, but sort of in relation to whatever's kind of the sticking point is this time. Yeah. And that can be quite it can be a very effective practice because I think this is an example of the way in which a more identified relationship with practice can be a pitfall. So I'm trying to practice, I'm finding this difficult, so I'm trying to engage with this difficulty, but it's all kind of getting a bit tight. And actually what's happening there often is that, well, there's some part of you that's really trying, you know, that's really trying to practice the Dharma, that's trying to practice meditation, that's actually finding it very difficult. That's the part of you that needs the compassion, the sensitivity, the support, the presence, the kind of the awareness. Yeah. And the tragedy is that as long as we're identified as some part of ourselves, it's not possible to bring awareness to that part of ourselves because we're identified with it. Sort of just sitting can be a relaxing out of identification into a more open awareness, and it can be a huge relief that at last it's possible to just bring some quality of metta or kindness or compassion to an aspect of myself that's actually really struggling, that was doing its best, that was trying to hold it all together, to be in control, you know. So being in control is not like despicable me trying to control the universe. It's just trying to hold it all together, really.